Chapter 10. "Sir," Smythe rapped his knuckles on my office doorframe. "You have a moment?"
"Certainly, Colonel."
I waited for him to take a seat.
"Perhaps it would be best if you called me Smythe. We currently have too many colonels aboard this ship."
"Oh, yeah," I agreed. He was right about that. Smythe and Sims were now lieutenant colonels, and in all except formal settings they were addressed as colonel. It was going to be cumbersome if we referred to each other by rank all the time.
"Now what is it, Smythe? How are the new people fitting in? Are the Delta guys giving you any trouble?"
"No trouble at all, sir. They're exceptionally disciplined and eager for action. All the lads. And ladies. I'm still getting used to having women in special operations teams," Smythe admitted with a wry grin.
"Everyone is getting along well, and we are forming up into one cohesive team. That is what I wish to speak with you about, sir."
What part of it?" I had no idea what he meant.
"Although the team is smaller than any of our previous missions, we have the most international group of any mission, and the people have not had the opportunity to train together dirt side before we departed. The two previous times, the five national teams were able to meet and spend at least a week of working together on the ground before we boarded the ship. There were still issues to be worked out in flight, of course. The point is, we now have a team composed of people who never met, do not know the tactics and training methods used by other people's home units. Just getting everyone to think in the unique terminology we use has been a steep learning curve. People instinctively want to fall back on the language of their home units. Perhaps the greatest difficulty is that most of the team did not expect to be serving aboard the Flying Dutchman. I am accustomed to being called for a mission on short notice, but this..." One side of his mouth curled up in a wry smile. "Was rather abrupt."
"We could have had more notice," I pointed at the ceiling. "If a certain beer can had been paying attention..."
"Hey!" The avatar shimmered to life on my desk immediately. "I was paying attention. I told you, UNEF Command conducted all their communications face-to-face or in writing. Writing, like on paper." He shook his head in wonderment that anyone used such primitive technology. "That would not have stopped me from reading their notes anyway. I could have..." "Okay, so I was not completely paying attention. Hey, you try watching and listening to billions of monkeys. Ugh, thought I would die of boredom. One of the submines I assigned to monitor social media actually did overload and asked to be taken offline because it could not stand listening to one more argument about Real Housewives of Sheboygan. Seriously, your species cares deeply about the stupidest things."
"We never asked you to monitor every post on social media, Skippy." The argument was getting me frustrated. "You should have been watching the senior officers assigned to UNEF Command and the leaders of the Security Council nations. That list can't be too many people. Certainly not enough for your awesome capacity for..."
"I did that, Joe. At least I did that as much as I could. The problem was the operation to take control of the Dutchman apparently was planned long before we got back to Earth. UNEF Command had decided to take the ship away from you. They were only waiting for the optimal moment to do it. Since that Delta team got my attention, I went back to make sense of bits and pieces of information. It looks like UNEF Command first started discussing the idea of taking direct control of this ship about 2 months after we were overdue to return. The elections of new presidents in the United States and France also changed UNEF Command's attitude about me, and especially about you. Your president is not a member of the Joe Bishop fan club."
"Yeah, I got that idea when the intel people were grilling me at Wright Pat. That's all water over the bridge now, so..."
His avatar's hands were on its hips, glaring at me with indignation.
"The expression is water under the bridge, you dum-dum."
"Damn, you can't even get..."
I said over because this situation is a flood, Skippy.
Oh, go ahead then."
"Great.
Back to the subject, Mage." The new ranks were still something I hadn't gotten used to.
"Colonel Smythe, I meant no offense."
"None taken, sir. This..." He fingered his lieutenant colonel's insignia. "Will take some getting used to for myself also."
"Yeah, but I make a habit of forgetting. I called Desai captain for way too long."
"Go ahead, please."
"Right. Instead of having five nationalities who were cohesive teams before they came aboard, we now have people from Britain, Canada, Poland, and Germany, plus Americans who are Delta Force and Marine Raiders. They both have their own set of standards, tactics, and training."
"Inter-service rivalry is a problem?"
"If that were true, I would be upset.
By upset, I mean I would be tempted to put on an armored suit and teach the offenders a lesson by slapping the shit out of them. Once again, I missed on no-nonsense Marine Corps gunnery sergeant. Margaret Adams usually spoke softly, because the people who knew her did not wish to arouse her wrath. With so few people on this mission, we could not afford to— Smythe interrupted my dark thoughts. Rivalries and morale are not presenting any difficulty. Overall, I am very pleased about how the team is coming together. Every one of them has put aside national identities to further our common goal. To continue the progress we have made, I would like to implement an idea that originated with the Indian team when we were on Kobamic during our Black Op. My home unit is, or was, 22 Special Air Services Regiment. What the Indians proposed, and I would now like to implement, is to replace current unit identifications with this. He reached into a pocket and slapped a patch on the desk. Special Tactics Assault Regiment, or STAR. People aboard the Dutchman would be assigned to four-man STAR teams. Colonel, we need one set of tactics and one training regimen. If we get back to Earth, UNEF needs to create international STAR teams to train together in advance of deployment aboard the Dutchman. We cannot afford miscommunications in action. STAR teams, huh? I turned the patch on the desk, looking at it from different angles. Then, realizing the logo was the least important aspect of setting up a new unit, I looked up. Have you mentioned this to your people? No, sir, I wanted to discuss it with you first. Rather than making my usual snap decision, I turned the idea over in my head, giving it time to sink in. The people Smythe commanded had not expected to serve aboard the Flying Dutchman, had not expected to serve together. If they had dreamed of joining the Merry Band of Pirates, those dreams most likely had involved joining the crew with their own team, whether that was SAS, Rangers, SEALs, paratroopers, or whatever designation their home units used. My only concern is this might be too many changes all at once. Sir, Smythe leaned forward with a touch of impatience. My approach to taking off a bandage is simply to get it over with. It might come as a shock, true. I believe now is the appropriate time to present the STAR team concept to my people. There was the slightest hint of emphasis on the my when he said that, reminding me that I had always allowed him great latitude in managing the special operations component of the pirates. They've been presented with several great shocks already. Being assigned to a newly formed unit will, as you Americans say, get lost in the sauce. If we wait and tell them later, that will be disruptive. You know your people, I replied with a slow nod of approval. Proceed as you see fit. I sure as hell need you to knit them into one effective team, and do it quickly. We do not have a specific need for your team yet, I smiled. He finished my thought. But when you do, you will need them right quick. Yes, sir. While I tried to think of a way to steal both a set of Pixies and a Maxolk's dropship, I needed to discuss something with Skippy, so I closed my office door and called him. Skippy, we need a backup plan. We do not have a plan at all, Joe. A backup seems premature. I mean, if we can't stop the Maxolk's from reaching Earth, we need a backup plan. Rubbing my temples, I stared down at the desktop. You always say our missions are impossible, but this time I think the whole idea of us fighting two Maxolk ships is arrogant bullshit. I got us out here on a fool's errand, and now I realize I asked people to commit mutiny and throw their careers away for nothing. UNEF is right. I'm a reckless, short-sighted amateur. This has been fun, and now it's time for a reality check. So, I exhaled in defeat. We need a backup plan. Okay. He dragged the word out. Is this backup plan to throw a really bitchin' party before the Maxolks blow your planet to dust? No, a backup to Earth. A place where humans can survive in secret and safety if Earth is destroyed, or even if aliens conquer us and turn us all into slaves. We need a place where human culture can survive, not just our physical beings. Like those Verdkris. Their people were enslaved by the Theranin, and their original culture was lost. The Verdkris are bringing it back because the Ruhar have provided places where they can do that safely. Work with me, please, I pleaded. I'm trying to think long-term, like you said I should. Even if we manage to stop the Maxolts from coming to Earth, there will always be another crisis. We need a place for humans and human culture to survive if Earth is conquered or destroyed. Okay, makes sense. What are you thinking of? A beta site. A planet we could use as a colony. It would have to be somewhere no aliens could get to, and it needs to be hidden. No one on Earth can know where it is. Going to this beta site has to be a one-way trip, I think.
That is a tall order, Joe. A place where not even the Max Hulks or Rindaloo could get to?
A place that is not easy for them to get to. How about that? They would have to make a major, major effort to get there. Someplace far enough away that they would never bother to make the effort.
Okay, but, I see a flaw in your plan. If this place is so far away, how would humans get there?
Easy. We use Skippy's magic carpet.
To quote you, what?
There are lots of dormant Elder wormholes in the galaxy, right? Even ones that are outside the galaxy.
Outside the galaxy?
Yeah, in the... I waved a hand vaguely.
Magellan's clouds, something like that. And there are like dwarf galaxies out there, too.
There is the Great and Lesser Magellanic Clouds, yes.
Also, in no particular order, the Fornax Dwarf Galaxy, the Carina Dwarf, the...
Yeah, that's what I meant. I leaned forward excitedly. See my point? There are plenty of places out there that must have habitable planets, far from any place the senior species could reach. All we need to do is find a dormant wormhole out there, someplace remote.
All we need to do. Joe, you act like that is easy, and by we, you mean me. I have to do all the work.
Can it be done? Do you have a map of the entire wormhole network?
Nope.
No.
My jaw fell.
Crap, I thought for sure you would have something like that.
How do you know which wormholes are out there, where the connections go or can go?
You used to screw with wormholes willy-nilly back when...
Yes, and my manipulating wormholes is what got us into this mess.
Listen, dum-dum, I do have a map of the wormhole network, but it is by no means complete. I can query the network control system.
He sighed.
That is a bad description, but I'm talking to a monkey, so what can I do?
When I connect to the network using the controller module, I get a rough, temporary glimpse of conditions in the local network. Think of it like the Notice to Airmen bulletins you check before you file a flight plan, only much more sophisticated. By keeping track of those glimpses, I have been able to assemble a rough mapping, but it mostly covers only part of the local sector, confined to a slice across the Orion and Sagittarius arms.
I call bullshit on that, Skippy. You have showed me maps many times showing wormholes all over the galaxy.
Yes, and that map is from data I pulled from the Theranin, the Giraptha, and others. All that is publicly available info, nothing that would help us find a far distant, dormant wormhole.
I'm throwing the bullshit flag this time. We have more than once connected to a dormant wormhole you assured me nobody knew about. If the wormhole is dormant, it's not connected to the network. So how did you know about it?
How has my life spun so far out of control that I am explaining elder systems to a monkey?
To you?
Okay, dum-dum. Prepare to have knowledge smacked down on you like a ton of bricks. Most dormant wormholes are still connected to the network. In fact, it is very rare that a wormhole actually disconnects. So, the network knows about the dormant wormholes and reports on them.
Duh.
Because wormholes that are currently dormant might be reactivated following a network shift. Also, when wormholes operate, they create gamma radiation, as you would know if you were paying attention.
I was.
He ignored me. Through maps of gamma radiation events that I got mostly from the Theranin, who got it from the Max Hulks, who got the historical data from the Rindaloo, I know where active wormholes used to be. Compare that to the map of currently active wormholes, and presto, I know which wormholes are dormant.
Yeah, I figured it was something like that.
What? Then why did you waste my time with...
Do you know how network shifts work? Like, could you predict which dormant wormholes are likely to be put back online in the next shift?
Unfortunately, no, and I am embarrassed about that, he mumbled. It is not a problem of me not being smart enough to understand the protocols that govern the network. It is also not some pain-in-the-ass restriction inside me where I sort of had the info but can't use it. In this case, I do not have that info because it is not available to me. For some reason I do not understand, whenever I use our wormhole controller module to query the network, it responds with just the info I need for a current requirement. It refuses to provide more basic data.
So, when you ask the network whether wormhole X can temporarily connect to wormhole Y, it will tell you yes or no, and
it will tell me yes or no, and if yes, how to do it, and the parameters, and any safety alerts. Like, if there is a massive star in the line between X and Y, the network will advise against trying that connection. The gravity well of a massive star can make the wormhole connection unstable, but that rarely happens.
What the network will not do is respond when I inquire about the basic network geometry and settings. All I get is silence, like it ignores my question. By the way, thank you for mentioning something I am embarrassed about that was so kind. Why does a dumb-dumb monkey need to know about the wormhole network functions? Because, O greatest of all great ones, imagine this scenario. What if we chose a beta site close to a dormant wormhole? You screw with the network to temporarily reactivate that wormhole, then shut it down again after we return from bringing colonists to the beta site. Then 10 years later, a wormhole shift brings that dormant wormhole back to life, and it just happens to conveniently connect to a wormhole in Maxalt's territory. The beta site would be screwed. I see your point. Well, that makes things extra complicated. Exactly. I think what we need is a habitable planet near a wormhole that is dormant and is so far away no ships could get there by jumping, and where the wormhole is very, like, extremely unlikely to come back online within the next couple thousand years. Whoo, damn! You are not asking much! Yeah, I know it's a stretch, but is there a way to identify such a place? Joe, the biggest problem is the requirement for a habitable planet. Because the target site is far away, we can't use wide-field sensors to remotely search for habitable worlds. Anything we can see from here would be pretty much useless anyway. Why's that? You want a site far away? Extremely remote? Take the Fornax Dwarf Galaxy as an example. It is approximately 300,000 light-years away, so any photons we see from those stars left that long ago. A planet that was habitable but not inhabited back then is not guaranteed to be in that condition now. The world could have fallen into a deep ice age, or a wandering brown dwarf star could have swung through the star system and thrown the planet out of orbit. Or a native intelligent species could have acquired technology during the past 300,000 years and pose a threat to your colony. Well, that wouldn't matter anyway. We can't establish a colony on a world that has a native intelligent species. Our colony can't be established by wiping out the existing population. Is that like your version of the Prime Directive? Yeah, if the Prime Directive is do not be an asshole. You know the golden rule, right? Whoever has the most gold makes the rules? No. Okay. I should have considered who I was talking with. Maybe that's the way it really does work. Well, I mean the golden rule the way it is supposed to be. You know, do unto others. Ooh, ooh! Do unto others before they do it to you. No. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Or something like that. You know what I mean. We can't commit genocide to save ourselves from extinction. Humanity got ourselves into this mess. We can't push our problems onto someone else. I actually agree with you. However, that does make the issue enormously more complicated. Joe, the only way to meet all your requirements is to identify dormant wormholes, then go through those wormholes and look for habitable worlds that do not have intelligent life. That could be a slow process. Yeah, but you can narrow the list by looking for dormant wormholes that have G-type stars within, like, 50 light-years. Better make it 25 light-years, Joe, and G-type stars are not the only candidates, or even the best candidates if you want the colony to be there long-term. A yellow dwarf star like Earth's sun has a shorter life and is less stable than an orange dwarf. Okay, I'll let you handle the sciencey stuff. A wise decision. You know what I'm looking for. Can you do it? Give me time to think about it. Sure, we're not in a hurry. When we get back to Earth, I would like to propose to UNEF Command the idea of setting up a beta site, and it would be great if we already had a good candidate site. The Flying Dutchman can't bring many colonists to a new world, Joe. Even if we set up cargo bays as living quarters, the life support systems like oxygen recycling only have capacity for perhaps 100 people. I've been thinking about that, too. We could add capacity to the life support systems? We could. It would be difficult, and the max I would be comfortable with for a long voyage is maybe another 50 people. 150 monkeys are hardly enough to set up a colony. Plus, you would need to bring cows, chickens. Colonists would probably want to bring pets like dogs and cats with them. All those animals consume oxygen and water. Sure. I made a mental note to discuss the idea with Sims. Bringing animals with us, like an interstellar Noah's Ark, had not crossed my mind, but Skippy was right. Unless we happen to find a planet where the native life could provide nutrition to humans, we would have to bring everything we eat with us. That was a lot of seeds and tubers and plants, not to mention animals. Before the first crops were ready for harvest, the colony needed to survive on food we brought from Earth. To be safe, We had to plan for the first set of crops to fail or get wiped out by a hailstorm or attacked by native bugs or diseases. Crap, setting up a colony was complicated. Well, I wasn't planning on the Dutchman bringing everyone. The good old Dutchman could do the survey work, maybe bring an initial group to test that we can raise food there, that the native life isn't poisonous to us, that sort of thing. It occurred to me that if we could eat the native life forms there, then they could eat us, too. Maybe it would be better if we did not find a world compatible with human nutritional needs. You plan to issue red shirts to the initial group, Joe? He chuckled. Hopefully not. Anyway, if we find a good planet for the beta site, we need to bring a big group of people there to make a viable colony. The Yuki-Shan is a troop ship. How many lizards was she designed to hold? Hey, dum-dum, that troop ship is a short-range Kristang piece of crap. It was only designed to travel from the outer edge of a system to the inner planets. It can't be used to fly from Earth to wherever this beta site is, unless the beta site is one of Jupiter's moons. Yeah, I know that, your supreme assholeness. The Kishan won't be making the trip alone. We can attach it to the Dutchman, construct a new hardpoint for Darkin. All the Kishan needs to do is provide life support for the colonists.
Oh, good thinking, Joe. Damn, I should have thought about that.
Okay, that is doable. The Kishan is on the small side for troop transports, and part of its berthing space was torn out to provide storage for equipment. What you really want to know is how many humans could the Kishan support? 4,000, maybe? 4,500 if we pack people in? Let's plan on packing people in. Any people who can't stand the discomfort of tight quarters are not good candidates to set up a colony. The colonists will be roughing it for the first year at least. Okay. Good. We have a basic plan. Now we need a place to go. Fine, he sighed. I'll work on it. Promise me you won't bug me about it. I will inform you when I have the search complete. Ah, well, this will give me an interesting problem to work on during my downtime. Great. And, don't tell anybody about this yet, okay? I don't want people thinking I'm planning for failure. Even though that is exactly what you're doing? Because that is exactly what I'm doing. Despite asking Skippy not to tell anyone about setting up a beta site, I called Sims into my office to get her thoughts on the subject, but instead, she immediately wanted to know my progress on planning what to do next about stopping the Maxulks.
Working on it. You have any ideas?
Dreaming up wild schemes is your wheelhouse, sir, not mine.
Sit down, please. It helps me to bounce ideas off people. Kind of talking out loud, you know?
Would it help if we got coffee first, or you... She waved a hand. You went to the gym or something?
No, we'll need a break anyway.
All right, where do we start?
She sat down. I noticed she was perched on the edge of the chair rather than getting comfortable.
I don't know. Do you usually draw up a chart or something?
I don't usually do anything, Sims.
You sit around until an idea hits you?
No,
How do I explain what I didn't understand?
I do work at it. There's just not, a process, you know?
You have to start somewhere, sir.
Like where?
Do I need to remind you of basic training? Step one, define the problem.
Good. That's good. Yeah. Hey, Skippy. I stood up and took a marker out of a drawer, the first time I had used the set of markers since I drew the Flying Dutchman's logo. Can I draw on this wall? It's not a wall, Joe. It's a bulkhead. I'm a ground pounder, your admiral's ship. Give me a break. Also, the bulkhead is not an erasable whiteboard. Your bots can scrub it clean or repaint it later, right?
Ugh!
He did his trademark disgusted sigh thing.
Fine. If you insist, I can...
Great. I didn't wait for him. Problem one, I wrote on the wall. We need to kill 2 Maxulk's warships before they get to Earth. Standing back, I admired my simple summary of the impossible challenge facing us.
It's not that simple, Sims burst my bubble.
What? I hated looking stupid, especially in front of her.
Maybe we should have started with our end goal, then defined the problem.
How would that help? I asked slowly, while gears churned haltingly in my head.
If the goal we're trying to achieve is only to keep Earth safe for a couple years, before the entire Maxulk's fleet shows up to nuke our planet into a crispy cinder, then all we need to do is kill 2 ships. But,
she held up an index finger.
If we are trying to make Earth safe for the next 60 years, then we can't simply kill those ships.
You're right. I groaned and slumped in my chair. We need to kill those ships
and provide a plausible explanation for why they went missing so the Maxalts will not get suspicious and send more ships to Earth to investigate.
Again, it's not so simple, sir. The only way Earth can be safe is if those ships report back to the Maxalts' leadership that they did go to Earth, found nothing interesting, and there's no reason for anyone ever again to go to our dull, uninteresting planet. Then, somehow, on their way back to base, those ships were lost.
But, she tapped her chin with a finger while she thought,
they can't disappear in a way that would make the Maxalts want to investigate what happened.
How the fu- I dropped the marker, which hit the tabletop, bounced, and when I tried to catch it, smeared my hands with black streaks. My juggling act was for nothing, because the marker fell to the deck and rolled over to Sims.
Holy shit, how the hell are we gonna do that?
That's step two, Colonel. We're still on step one, defining the problem.
She was not smiling. She is right, Joe, Skippy scolded me. Shame on you for questioning Jennifer.
I wasn't question- Damn it, they made me feel like I was 6 years old and getting blamed for something my sister did.
Sims, I agree. However the hell we do this, the goal is for the Maxalts to think their ships went to Earth and didn't find anything useful so the rotten kiddies lose interest in our planet. So, I took the marker back from her and looked at the wall, which had only my original scribbled note. Below, kill two Maxalt ships before they reach Earth, I added, fake evidence those ships reached Earth and found nothing useful. Again, I stepped back to admire my work. It sure looked a lot more complicated. In terms of solving the problem, we were going backwards, damn it.
All right, now we're getting somewhere.
She was leaning forward over the table, getting into the discussion. Sims cocked her head at my makeshift whiteboard.
Add another line. Provide plausible reason why those ships would not return to Maxalt space.
Got it. Hey, Joe, Skippy snickered. Why don't you add another line like, deliver presents to all the good little girls and boys on Earth?
Not helpful, asshole.
Sims, this is great, but my head hurts already.
Tackle something easy first, then. Assume we have destroyed those two ships, and we have a plan for preventing the Maxalts from getting suspicious about why they disappeared.
Each of those is one hell of an assumption.
She ignored me. That leaves planting evidence. How would we do that?
I have no idea.
Sir, I was talking to the beer can.
She leaned forward toward Skippy's avatar. Skippy took a step back.
Why are you asking me? You monkeys are supposed to be the clever ones.
Because this is purely a technical question, she insisted. How would Maxalt ships transmit their information?
They could send a speed of light message from wherever they are, but that wouldn't do us any good. By the time that message reached the Maxalts, those rotten kitties would already have sent out a task force to look for their missing ships.
You are asking what instructions those ships have for reporting after they return to space controlled by the Maxalts?
Yes, Sims nodded.
Well, in that case, I won't know their instructions until we download their flight plan, so this discussion is way premature.
He paused, and I suspect he was about to throw in his usual duh, but he held back because he was talking to Sims.
No, it's not premature, she insisted. The Maxalt's Navy must have standard procedures for transmitting data when ships come back from a patrol. They wouldn't wait until they get all the way back to base.
They would not wait that long, particularly on an important mission, Skippy agreed reluctantly.
Okay, fine. I do know their standard operating procedures. Those ships would contact the nearest frontier data relay station after they returned to Maxalt's territory.
There's the answer, Colonel, Sims announced happily. We need to load our cover story into a Maxalt's data relay station, the first one those ships would encounter on their way back from Earth. Then,
she looked at the ceiling and thought,
those ships need to disappear after they contact that relay station and before they return to base, or wherever they have orders to go at the conclusion of the mission. The cover story needs to explain that also.
In my mind, she was making the planning more complicated, not less.
Skippy, can you do that? Plant data in a relay station?
It can be done. We have the same issue with getting aboard a relay station to download flight plans for the target ships. There are a bunch of problems with planting data. To get data, the station has to accept that we are an authorized Maxalt ship, so we need pixies first. To plant the data, the problem is twice as difficult, because the Maxalts will be expecting two ships, and I can only create a false image of one ship.
Gears were turning in my head.
For now, assume we have some explanation for why only one ship survived the trip back from Earth. Does that take care of the problem?
Well, it takes care of that problem, Joe.
Next, we have the problem that to plant data, we need to physically access the station. Once we are aboard, I should be able to fool internal sensors so the station computer thinks our crew are authorized Maxalks. Plus, I can erase all evidence of our visit after we leave. But the only way a station would allow us to get close is in a Maxalks dropship, Joe. From far away, I can fake the sensor data, but once we get close, the station would see right through my masking. Okay, so all we need to do is steal a Maxalks dropship, which we need anyway to get the flight plan data. All we need to do? Skippy gasped. You must be joking. Play along, Skippy. Come on. We're already assuming we can destroy those ships and cook up a bullshit story that the Maxalts will believe. Assuming we can steal a Maxalts dropship is Cub Scout-level stuff by comparison. If we can't get a dropship, we will never know where those ships are, and all this discussion is for nothing. Fine, Mr. Smarty Pants, he huffed. What about this? Most Maxalts relay stations along their frontier have crews aboard, because the stations also act as sensor platforms for their attack warning system. We may kill two ships, we may cook up a bullshit story, we may even steal a dropship. How can we get aboard to plant the data? If we kill the crew, the Maxalts would never trust any data stored by that station. That would be one too many coincidences. Sims shrugged.
He's got us there, sir.
She shook her head.
Having to keep everything we do secret makes this much more difficult. Maybe this is impossible.
Uh-uh. No way you're giving up now, Sims. You dragged me down this fantasy rabbit hole. You're not quitting now.
Never give up, never surrender? She asked with a wink.
You got it. Skippy, if we can get aboard that station without being detected by the crew, could you plant our cover story in the computer's memory? Oh, sure, no problem. I'll just ask magic elves to fly into the computer core on their unicorns. Joe, you dum-dum, you are forgetting one teensy-weensy detail. Sneaking past the station's crew isn't the only challenge. That crew will want to come to the docking bay to meet our dropship. Duty aboard a relay station is boring. The crew will be eager for any contact with the outside universe. Our dropship can't sit in the docking bay with the doors closed.
What if we posted a sign, "If the dropship's rockin', don't come knockin'," I suggested with a wink.
Joe, he sighed and took off his giant admiral's hat to scratch his shiny head.
Are you sure none of the new people should not be commanding the ship instead of you?
No way, Skippy. If anyone is going to screw this up and doom humanity, I pointed a thumb at my chest, it is going to be this monkey right here. Okay, so our plan needs to explain why the target ships would contact an automated relay station instead of the one they are supposed to ping on their way back from Earth.
Great. Wonderful. We are making progress.
Sims sat back in her chair. Backwards progress, I complained. Before you walked in here, we needed plans to kill the target ships and steal or find a Maxalts dropship and steal a blank set of pixies and board a relay station without the AI setting off an alarm. Now we also need to dream up a cover story to explain why the Maxalts should be totally chill about losing two ships that went all the way to Earth but never made it back home. Oh, and then after we destroy the target ships, we need to board a Maxalts relay station again to plant whatever bullshit cover story we dream up. This is fantastic!
I'm happy to help, sir, she replied with a grin.
Next time, I was not grinning. Remind me not to ask for your help.